Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
He's talking about being in fear of not pleasing God, being in fear of being taken to the woodshed. Or did he have all of these in mind when he said the fear of the Lord? Regardless, he persuaded others. Do you know the fear of the Lord? I'm going to ask you some questions tonight that you, unless you ignore them, unless you ignore the pulling of the Holy Ghost upon you, is really going to make you think. Do you know the fear of the Lord? And if you know the fear of the Lord, are you persuading others? I probably won't ask for a hand raising but a few times. Hopefully tonight's message will motivate you into action. Tonight's message, like a lot of messages, may upset you. If you're doing what I'm preaching, you'll be sitting there grinning. You think, oh yeah, this is good. But if you're not doing what the Word of God is asking you to do, one thing about it, you're going to hear the truth tonight. And by the way, how do you handle the truth? What do you do when you're confronted with the truth of God's Word? Anybody ever get angry? How about kind of push it aside and try to ignore the truth? Amen? Well, it's already quiet. It's always better to accept the truth and live the truth. Amen? But regardless of what you decide to do, I want you to realize there are consequences for your actions. I've always preached from day one that life is a choice. But in that decision-making process, there's consequences. They're either good or they're either bad. Part of the model prayer found in Matthew 6 and 10 declares, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Naturally, this includes God's revealed will. You see, in the Word of God, God has placed parameters upon us. He has revealed to us what is good for us and what is bad for us in the Word of God. And we have to choose which we will follow. Now, does your life reflect the will of God? Wow. Well, to know the answer, you would have to know the Word and then be living the Word to know if your life reflects the will of God. You know, I've discovered over the last 30 plus years, 37 to be exact, there's a lot of people that claim to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They claim it. But for some reason, they do not believe that they have to follow everything that's in the book. It's like they're thinking, okay, God, I go to church, I got part of the Word down, surely you're not going to hold me accountable for the other part. You know, the only thing wrong with that mindset, it's wrong. Amen? We should be sold out lock, stock, and barrel to the one that died for us. Nobody else cares for us like Jesus Christ. Nobody. If we do not submit to the authority of God's Word, then we're living in disobedience. It's too early in this message for you to get quiet. If you agree with what I'm saying, I could. And listen, I'm deaf in this ear and can't hardly hear in this one. So if you say amen, you got to say it real loud, okay? Hal, I might need some help from you, okay? Okay. Just as sure as God made little green apples, disobedience will always bring consequences. To make it simple, disobedience is refusing to do what God has asked us to do, or not doing what God has forbidden us to do. Any disobedience against God is a sinful act. For example, we are to tithe 10%, yeah, hold your mouth open, 10% of our income. Not rob God, not spend that money on ourselves. For example, we are to forgive others. And my, I have seen it in churches all over. Christians don't believe that they have to forgive others. They can justify it some way, somehow. I can sit on that side and not say nothing to this and on this side. Folks, where does that come from? It doesn't come from the Word of God. The last example, and there's many I could have chosen, but the way that the Christians treat lost people. Wow. We're to bring our lives into complete alignment with the Word of God. It is our goal, should be our goal in life, to live all of the Word, not just the parts that are convenient or the parts that we'd like to live. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Is that up there? Okay. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. He is a new creation. Are you? Amen. Are you a new creation? Come on. Are you living a new life? Or one that has simply been remodeled? Remodeled to kind of fit in to be a church person? Instead of giving your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of making him just your Savior, is he your Lord? A new creation is a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not just one time, not just twice, but over and over and over you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Does everybody know why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You can't live this life if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're driving down the road in a car. If you don't put gas in it, what happens? You run out. You stop. You're on the side of the road. If you're not continually filled with the Holy Spirit, I promise you, you will fall into sin. I promise you, you will make bad decisions. I promise you, you will wish at some point in time in your life that you had been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. A new creation, number two, is endowed with at least one spiritual gift or gifts. If you're serious about living for God, I want you to understand you will know your gift or gifts. You will know them. And you will be practicing them. You'll be wearing them out to help build up the kingdom of God. I cannot imagine a new creation not knowing that the Holy Spirit had looked at you and had given you at least one spiritual gift and then you're not using it. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you're a new creation, God empowers you to do what he has assigned you to do. He has empowered you to live the Word of God. How many of you know church attendance is not a spiritual gift? What, John? There are people that don't know anything about spiritual gifts. That's right. Yeah, that's right. I know it shouldn't be that way, but there's people that do not realize that. A new creation is to be set apart from this world. That's for good works that God has already preordained for us to do. Now, if you're a new creation, raise your hand. If you're not a new creation, I'm going to come back and pray for you. I'm dead serious about that. Are you a new creation? Raise your hand, hon. You a new creation? All right. Ron, better get your hand up, man. Oh, don't think I won't come back here. Oh, I see it now. Okay, good. A new creation. We're made new, not to do the things we used to do, but to do the things that God wants us to do. Amen? Understand, at Calvary, the precious blood of Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. If you were serious about your profession of faith, then a transfer of ownership took place. You started traveling the glory road. You put away self-worship and embraced God worship. You started praying, Lord, help me to do your will. How many of you still pray for that? I do. Every day. God, I need help to do your will. Amen. Let's read Matthew 28, 18 and 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It is the duty of every minister of God to teach the Holy Word. It is the duty of every church-going, born-again, blood-washed, new creation to take the Word and apply it to their lives. Not just a little bit of it, but all of it. In these verses, Jesus basically declares that everyone, that's everyone, needs to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that you come in contact with needs to hear this. How many of you realize that Margaret has a harvest field? Dennis, you have a harvest field. They might occasionally overlap, but there will be people in your harvest field that Margaret doesn't even know. How many of you believe in hell? It's real. Amen. It's dark. It's hot. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is the most horrible place that you can ever begin to imagine. Where do lost people go if they don't accept Jesus Christ? How many of you have lost family members? Y'all got lost family members? You sure? What are you doing about it? The first sermon I preached here, I shared with you how empty pews bother me. The reality is, if they're lost and they die, they go to hell. And for too long, the church world has simply been focused on coming to church, listening to the music, having a good time, asking God to bless us, and going home and never thinking once about the lost, dying, and going to hell. We have become so accustomed for God to come. Oh, Margaret, you're such a good person. You're doing such a good job. That's all we want to hear. And yeah, Jim, I know I'm preaching to the choir, okay? Has it ever sunk in that we're really the hands and feet of God? We are really the hands and feet of our God. It begins with being aware of those people around us. The doctors, the nurses, the gas attendant, the people you buy insurance from, people you work with, people you see on the street. Everybody deserves to be given an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. Everybody. And if the church, if we do not share Jesus Christ, who will? It begins by noticing them. It begins by loving them. It begins for praying for them. It begins, we establish a relationship with them. That's the drug addict. That's the drunk. That's the dope pusher. That's the good neighbor that does nothing wrong. Whatever category they might fall into, they're lost. They're dying and they're going to hell. And if we do not do something, guess what will happen? Have you ever stopped for a moment and asked yourself, as a Christian, what is my God-given purpose in this world? What is the reason you were created, made brand new? Years ago on the East Coast of America, lighthouses were designed to warn ships of dangerous waters. Around some of these lighthouses, little villages, little towns sprang up. And some of those little towns became rescue stations. These people, when the alarm sounded, would leave the comfort of their homes, most often go into a raging storm, most often face death, to try and rescue people they'd never seen, didn't know, had no connection with. They just knew they were perishing. They knew they were lost. They knew unless somebody came to their rescue, they would drown, they would die. Do you see our church as a rescue station for the lost? Maybe I should ask, does God see our church as a rescue station for the lost? And I'm not talking about the pastor and maybe a few others. What I'm talking about is a church body. Half of those people that are not here tonight, and they're not the enemy. Do not look at them as the enemy. Does a church body think that we're a rescue station for the lost? Maybe we're just too busy doing other things to go rescue anybody. You know, we sang about having a breakthrough. We sang about the joy of the Lord. Did you know there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner than all the righteous combined together? Come Let's look at a few facts. In 2017, there was 45,547 people in Hopkins County. And just as a point of reference, let's divide that number in half and be extremely generous and say that many people profess Christ. That leaves over 22,000 lost souls in Hopkins County. Amen. Last year, there was 5 adults saved in this church. And oh God, do I thank the Heavenly Father for them. I rejoice that they chose Jesus Christ as their Savior. In 2016, the last year that records were available, 626 people died in Hopkins County. Again, as a point of reference, let's divide that number in half. Probably spit hell wide open. Now, God alone knows who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. I'm just using this as a point of reference. I have to wonder if our church body had been focused on saving souls, on saving the perishing, how many of those might make heaven? Somewhere in our mindset, we have to get a hold of the fact that we're the hands and feet of God, and we have to You've been in the heat of battle. Every one of us needs to be in the heat of the battle. No matter how new we are to being a Christian, no matter how long we've been a Christian, every one of us needs to have the mindset, God, show me. Bring me in contact with somebody that's lost, somebody that's perishing, somebody that's dying, somebody that's going to hell, and help me to share Jesus Christ with them. Folks, it's not that difficult. It's not that complicated. We're to go. We're to baptize. We're to make disciples. Everybody in here that is a new creation, you're empowered. You have a spiritual gift. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know how much word that you have within you to share Jesus Christ? You don't have to be a theologian. All you have to know is that you've been saved. Surely you can share that. We become aware of those people. We love them. We pray for them. We develop a relationship with them. And then when the Holy Spirit prompts us, only then, when the Holy Spirit prompts us, then we share Jesus Christ with them. Is that complicated? I met Emma in the hall. She said, are you preaching tonight? I said, yes. And she went, yes. You will never know how that charged my batteries. Never. We will never know if we will just take a moment and reach out. Some of those people are truly hungry. Some of them are not. Some of them are not ready. But you've got to be aware of them. You've got to notice them. You've got to love them. Amen? Regardless of the number in Hopkins County that are perishing, be it 2, 20, 200, 2,000, 20,000, What is this church body going to do in 2019? How many of you will make the lost, the perishing, a priority in your life? How many of you will continue to live a distracted life? This is not a heaven and hell issue here. But how many of you will live a distracted life and just ignore the lost? How many of you will not even care enough to invite those in your harvest field to church? There are God-fearing people that never invite anybody to church. I've been at this a while. I've talked to people. They've shared with me. Until they see the importance, until they see those people as God sees them, they don't care. My question tonight for you, do you care? Do you really care enough to change your lifestyle to see people saved? Let's read 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. With God as your witness, are you an ambassador for Christ? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm just asking you to ask yourself, are you an ambassador for Christ? If you're not, how come you're not up here at the altar? Okay, that's a response I expected. No, actually, I expected somebody to get up and come up here and pray. God, I haven't been an ambassador for Christ. God, you know my life. You know how I conduct my life. Lord, I haven't been an ambassador for Christ. Forgive me and help me to be an ambassador for Christ. What in this world could be keeping you from doing what God has designed for you to do? What in this world could be keeping you from being what God wants you to be? Let's make it real simple. And you can help me out here, okay? I'll bring the mic to you, and you can tell me why the lost are not a priority in your life. Somebody's probably thinking, well, they are. And I'll ask you, when's the last time you tried to save somebody? When's the last time you shared Jesus Christ? When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you went out of your way to make a friend with a lost person? Why are you not allowing God to make his appeal through you? Let me say again, we are the hands and feet of Christ. According to Strong's Concordance, we are to invite the lost in, we are to call them near, we are to make an appeal to the lost. It also states, we implore you, that is, I beg you. Your pastor and I have talked about excitement in the church, talked about joy in the church. I'm going to tell you right now, as long as the lost is not a priority in the church, We will be lacking in joy. We will be lacking in excitement. Let me ask you something. How do you think God, this is my get out of hell card, okay? How do you think God looks at us when we sit and are basically lifeless, sitting on our get out of hell card while others are perishing? I'm trying to, Hal. I'm doing my best. When I was in Florida and I called you, I had just went through this discussion with God. I wanted to preach something else. Guess who won? Shannon, I'm of the age, hon, what God gives, I preach. I would love for you to accept it, but if you don't, there is no blood on my hands, honey. I have done what God has asked me to do. And if you like me, oh, that's great. If you don't, here again, I'm old enough, I can live with that. Okay? When I first started out in the ministry, I wanted everybody to love me. Took me about 2 weeks to figure out that wasn't happening, okay? It took me about another 2 years to really begin to live with that. Hey, I'm a child of the King. God's called me to preach. Well, just don't preach on certain things and you'll be all right. Oh, my. I might need some help getting up, okay? Scripture says we implore you, which basically means I beg you. I am begging you, if you are a new creation, if you're a part of this church, let us join together. Oh, please. Let us join together. Let us be ambassadors for Christ. Let us reach out to the lost. Let us see our family saved. I got family that are, lost. And the only hope they have is Jesus Christ. Let us join together. Let us see family, co-workers, total strangers reconciled to God. Let this church be a rescue station for the lost. Amen. From Luke 19 and 10, we know the mission of Christ. He came to seek and to save those which were lost. Amen. That was his mission. Amen. If we're to take on the mind of Christ, if we're to be like Christ, we know from John 14 and 12 that we are to be about the Father's business, where Jesus states, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." How much plainer can that be? And greater works than these. Since we have been reconciled to God, if you haven't, oh my, I want you up here. I don't want you to miss heaven. And I sure don't want you to go to hell. But you must make a choice. The decision is yours. I can preach the truth, but it's up to you what you will do. Let's be about the Father's business. Everyone. one of us should be on the move for God. On the move, not sitting still. We should be moving from sin to holiness. Moving from evil to righteousness. From death to life. From disobedience to obedience. We should be living and moving from glory to glory because the Word of God has declared it. And we should be doing this now before the King returns. Folks, He is coming back. He's coming back. I don't know about you, but I would like to see some of you so on fire for God that you draw attention wherever you go. I'd like to see some of you witness to my family. I'd like to see some of you share Jesus Christ. They've heard it from me and heard it from me and heard it from me. Folks, listen. I've followed the leading of the Spirit. I know when to keep my mouth shut and I know when to share Jesus Christ. But they've heard it from me. They need to hear it from somebody fresh, somebody new, somebody that they don't know. Let me ask you something. How many of you have a prayer list at home? You're praying for lost people. You're praying for people in this church. You have a list of people that you pray for on a continual basis. I've never counted mine until the other day. I thought, well, I wonder how many people I'm praying for. And I was ashamed. I'm only praying for 50-something people. I know more people than that. How many people are you praying for? Folks, the King is coming. Oh, the King is coming! I still hate empty pews. This church should be full, folks. But it will never be full until the church body really cares about the lost. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand at a crossroads. I know that you will empower us. I know that you will help us. I know that you will help us help this church become everything that you want it to be. But God, we need people to make a decision tonight, Heavenly Father. A decision to become an ambassador for Christ. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But if the Spirit prompts you, I'm going to ask you to come and talk to God. Have that little talk with Jesus. Let God use you. If you want to come up here and pray for somebody that's lost, I'd ask you to do that. If you have any kind of a need, I just ask you to come. He's waiting. He's waiting for His people to respond to the truth. What will you do in the year 2019? Jesus, help us each one, please. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.